True. Just a word about Dr. Street. He's been a great influence in my life. I'm not sure how old he is, but isn't he strong? You know what? We're strong at 60. We're strong at 70. We're strong at 80. Amen? Isn't it glorious? You know, I knew I was in the right place this morning when I came in. Everybody's greeting each other and shaking hands and loving one another. I'm in the right place. You know why? Because it's the joy of the Lord. He provides that. Amen? Now, sometimes I go to different churches and speak, and I need to bring a bucket. And I go up with a bucket, and people want to know what that bucket is, and I will reach in that bucket every once in a while and get an amen if the crowd doesn't help me. Reach in there and get that. So y'all stay with me this morning. Turn to Genesis chapter 3. There's a young man asked me before I graduated with my BA from Criswell. He said, Rick, when you stand up and you get ready to speak, do you ever get nervous? I mean, you are 50 years old. You should have gotten over all of that. And I said, you know what? Whenever I open this book and I deliver the Word of God, oh, I get nervous. Because I think it should be that way. What I want to do today is I just want to communicate to you what I see in this book. Genesis chapter 3. So, here we go. Are you ready? I'm Rick Bailey. This is my lovely wife, Tammy. We live in Athens, Texas. We've been involved in a church plant and an apartment complex. The owner of this apartment complex came and he looked over his property, and it was destitute. It was in sad condition. And what he did is he went to the church that was closest to it and said, I'm going to give you a room for free if you'll come and minister. So we were involved with a team of people that were preaching and teaching and men and women and loving on people and feeding the kids after school and going by on Friday afternoon and you'd show up and they just grab you by the legs when you show up. You know what they want? They want love. They want attention. And it's just been wonderful to be involved in that work. We've since transitioned into another role, and other people are coming alongside. And when we move and step aside, we've trained others. Listen to that. We've trained others and walked with others and trained them to take our place. We don't just leave. You leave the sheep with someone else, right? So just to give you a little background about where we've been. So you've got your finger in Genesis chapter 3. So I'll preface Genesis chapter 3 with this. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. We have a presupposition that I need you to go with me this morning. The presupposition is this, is that God really did, Wellington, God really did create the heavens and the earth. Now, y'all are going to have to forgive me. I've gotten over the line. Did you see that? Dr. Street said to stay between the lines. So, God really did create the heavens and the earth. How did he do it?
By smoke.
Wow. Just spoken. That's my God. Just spoke the word. And on the first day he created what? He said, let there be light. And there was light, and it was good. And then on the first day he created that. And then on the second day he separated the waters from the waters and the atmosphere, and the earth was formless and void. And the Spirit hovered over the what? The waters of the deep. So he creates light on the first day. Second day, he separates the expanse. And then on the third day, he separates even more, and he creates land and water and bushes. That's interesting. Just read the text. It's there. And then on the fourth day, look at what he does on the fourth day. On the fourth day, he creates the greater light and the lesser light. Wait a minute. He creates light and darkness on day one in an expanse, and then he begins to fill it. And then on day two, he separates the waters from the waters, and then on day four, he begins to what? Fill it with what? Do you see? You see? And then on day five, he creates the birds and the fish. And then on day six, what does he do? Oh my. Do you see how God, he prepares a place and then he fills it. He prepares a place and then he fills it. And then he prepares a place. And then he fills it. What did he create on day six? This is amazing stuff. I see order here, don't you? God is a God of order. He's structured. And this is what I want you to get today. That lady sitting over at the table, he's got a plan for your life. Isn't that wonderful? You are not insignificant. I don't care who you are, how old you are, how pretty you are, how much money you have, how much you don't have. He's got a specific plan that it's a task-oriented life that he wants. For you, for all of us here. And I know that you're tapping into that because you know why? Because you've got the joy of the Lord. I see that in this class, the joy of the Lord. So that's our preface. Genesis. Who knows the Hebrew word for Genesis? Bereshit. Bereshit. Chronologically, it's the longest book in the Bible. It's a historical narrative. 50 chapters. Who wrote it? Old Moses. Some people argue with that. Jesus didn't. Check it out. Jesus is not a liar. So, if you will, we have the creation story that develops in chapter 1, and then in chapter 2, he recapitulates things. He begins to say exactly how he created man. And something happens in the Hebrew. See, he created man out of the what? Man was dirt. Isn't that amazing? And God breathed the breath of life into that man. That is glorious. That's exciting. And then it says that God used holy anesthesia to put the man to sleep. Well, that's grace, isn't it? He didn't just take a rib from it. He put him to sleep. Don't you see that? That's grace. That's my God. And it says that he took a rib or the side or whatever. That's a little ambiguous. But it doesn't say that he made a woman. It says he built a woman. Isn't that wonderful? and he made them on the sixth day. So that's our preface. Chapter 2 recaps the creation of man and woman. So I want to do this, and I know Dr. Street. If I know Dr. Street at all, he's told you this. We see in Genesis chapter 3, who's the first? What's the first animal that you see in chapter 3? Now, if I was back home, I'd say, what's the first critter that you see in chapter 3? Well, it's a serpent. And this serpent was crafty. He was clever. I often thought, why didn't he enter into a rabbit or something? Or maybe a kangaroo rat. What about a kangaroo rat? Is he type A? A kangaroo rat is type A. They are all over the place. Wonder why he chose a snake. Very subtle movements. Very crafty, isn't he? We think that at this time, God has created the heavens and the earth, and Satan had been sent here. I mean, he shows up here in the garden, and everything was beautiful and good. Well, so how did he get there? Well, I have a theory. I can't prove this, but I have a theory. Satan is an angel. He is a what? A created being. Where did he come from? He came from heaven, didn't he? He was cast out because he was prideful, wasn't he? So if Satan was cast from heaven, where did he go? We think he came to the earth, where the earth was formless and void, and the Spirit hovered over the waters of the deep. In Hebrew, when it talks about waters, read the book of Jonah. When it talks about waters, it's chaos. It's friction. It's problems. It's danger. It's not a positive thing. So we think that Satan came to the earth where the Spirit hovered over the waters of the deep. This blows me away. Why would God move in and create man in the middle of chaos? Because he can. What's he trying to restore? Don't miss this part. What's he trying to restore? His authority. Why was Satan cast out of heaven? He subverted the authority of God. That's what this is all about. And God, he has the earth, and he moves right in. Boom. He starts to create. Boom. And boom. And on the sixth day, he created man. And man was supposed to subdue the earth and have authority over the earth. Do you see that? Mankind was made to grab a hold of that authority and to just do what God says to do. This is all about authority. God's authority. Are you under God's authority today? Is your entire life in submission to His authority? Let me ask you again. Is your entire life in submission to God? Does He rule and reign in every area of your life? That's the question. Genesis chapter 3. There's 24 verses, and it's just very difficult to just run through this very quickly. So what we'll do is we'll read through it, hit a few highlights, and I just want to show you some things. God is a God of order. His authority was subverted in heaven. Satan was cast out. He was cast to the earth. He shows up in the garden. Ah, but God moved right into the middle of the mess, and he began to restore. Folks, he wants to do the same for you today. Listen, I don't care how bad it is. I don't care where you're at. There is nothing too big for my God. You can count on it. And it's my prayer that you will. You'll trust him in every area of your life. I'm working on it. I'm not there yet. I hadn't arrived, brother. I know you're shocked. But I'm still working on it too. And it's my desire that everyone in this room would really grab a hold of this today. Let us trust God in every area. Read with me Genesis 3:1. Now the serpent was more crafty than any beast of the field, which the Lord God had made. And he said to the woman, "Indeed, has God said, you shall not eat from any tree in the garden?" Now hold up right there. Do you see that? We're just getting started. And what has Satan begun to attack? His word. His authority. His message. He begins to subvert. I think it's interesting that Satan actually uses a reptile, a snake. Who was supposed to have authority over that snake? So God used the snake in an attempt to subvert the authority of God. He's crafty. Even today, he's crafty. And the woman said to the serpent, "From the fruit of the trees of the garden we may eat. For from the fruit of the tree which is in the middle of the garden, God has said, you shall not eat from it, or you shall not touch it, lest you die." That's not what God said. God didn't even tell her anyway. Look at chapter 2, verse 16 and 17, if you don't believe it. He told who? He told Adam. He told Adam. Now, we're not sure why she said this, but that's not what God said. God just said, "Hey, don't eat of it, or you shall what? Die?" No. "You shall surely die." It's emphatic. And in verse 3, it says, "But from the fruit of the tree which is in the middle of the garden, God has said, you shall not eat from it or touch it, lest you die." She added to it. And the serpent said to the woman, "You shall not surely die." Doesn't that sound like it? You can't believe that. He's in it for himself. God's in it for himself. God doesn't want you to be like him. That's what Satan is saying here. Look at verse 5. "For God knows that in the day you eat of it, your eyes will be opened, and you will be like God, knowing good and evil." And when the woman saw, look here, look. "When the woman saw that the tree was good for food, and that it was a delight to the eyes, and that the tree was desirable to make one," what? "Wise." Make one wise. She saw it, and she desired it, didn't she? "To make one wise, and she took from the fruit," and she what? "She took from the fruit, she ate it, and she gave also to her husband, and with her, and he ate." Look at all of the action that's going on at the end of verse 6. This is what happens. And the Hebrew writer is showing us something here. Look at all of the verbs that are taking place at the end of chapter 6. Things are speeding up. You see that? She took it, she ate. She gave it to him. He took it and what? He ate. A lot of action going on. Things are speeding up. Verse 7, "Then the eyes of both of them were open, and they knew that they were what? And they sewed fig leaves together and made themselves loin coverings. Tried to cover it up. This is the first covering. How well did they do? Well, immediately, I guess they did pretty good, but what about the next day? The next day, we have to cover up again, don't we? Folks, nothing's changed in your life. Listen, nothing's changed. We cover up things all the time. And they heard the sound. This is so good. Listen to this. And they heard the sound of the Lord walking in the garden in the cool of the day. And the text says, and the man and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God among the trees. Did you hear that? They were hiding from God. Is that ridiculous? The creator of heaven and earth? And you're going to get under the canopy like a coward? Don't we do the same? Aren't there little places and pockets where we hide things? Maybe not you. Maybe I'm the only one. Look at verse 9. Okay. Now there's something going on here I want to make a point of. Look at verse 9. If you've got your pen and you don't mind writing in your Holy Bible, Dr. Street, have you seen his Bible? Man, it's got marks going everywhere. You don't see mine. You want to put an A by verse 9. You want to put an A by verse 9. Then the Lord God called to the man and said to him, where are you? Well, God knew where he was. And he said, I heard the sound of thee in the garden, and I was afraid because I was naked. Whoa, 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 whoa. Whoa, whoa. Whoa, something's happened. What has happened here? Look back at chapter 2, verse 25. It's very important. Look back at chapter 2, verse 25. What does it say? And the man and his wife were both naked and were not. So when we develop a corollary based on chapter 3 concerning the same thing, we are thinking that they are now naked and they are what? And they cover up. See, the things that we cover up, we do it for the right reason. Because we want them covered up. Why else would we cover them up if we're not ashamed of them? In essence, we are ashamed in areas. And we cover up. No different than Adam. No different than Eve. So you've got an A by verse 9. I want to remind you that in verse 9, he doesn't come to Eve in the garden. He comes to Adam. Amen? He comes to Adam. Verse 10, and he says, I heard the sound of thee in the garden, and I was afraid because I was naked, so I hid myself. We're thinking that they're ashamed. They're covering things up. And he said, who told you that you were naked? Whoa. He doesn't give him time to answer. Have you eaten from the tree which I commanded you not to eat? And the man said, The what? The man said, yes, I did, and I want to take responsibility for what I've done. Isn't that what it said? No, wait a minute. Let's read that. This is crazy. Nothing has changed. This is crazy. Nothing has changed. And you're laughing because you know it. And he said, who told you that you were naked? This is a terrible thing that's happened. Have you eaten from the tree which I commanded you not to eat? I commanded. It was not a suggestion, folks. It was a command. What's he commanded you? Just explore that. What's he commanded us to do? Love one another. Amen. I need to work on that. Some people don't want to be loved. You got to love on them anyway. Try. You got to try. I'm working on that too. He says in verse 12, and the man said, the woman that you gave me. You gave me. The man said, the woman that thou gavest to be with me, she gave me from the tree. And I ate. At least he told the truth. Look at verse 13. And then the Lord God said to the woman, what is this you have done? He immediately turns to the woman and says, hey, what have you done? What is this you've done? And the woman said, do you see a pattern developing here? Some things never change, do they? Well, the serpent deceived me, and I ate. Now, if you have your pen in your Bible, I'd put a B next to verse 13. If you do this, you're going to have it in your Bible, and I'm going to show you what the point is. Verse 13 takes a B. And then look at verse 14. And the Lord God said to the what? To the serpent. To the usurper. Because you have done this, cursed are you more than all the cattle and more than every beast of the field. And on your belly you shall go, and dust shall you eat all the days of your life. And I will put enmity, hostility, enmity between you and the woman, and between your seed and her seed. Now this is the Wangelion. It's the first place where we see the gospel in the book of Genesis. Isn't that wonderful? He goes on to say, he shall bruise you on the head, and you shall bruise him on the heel, to illustrate that. The passion of the Christ. Everybody see it? The passion of the Christ. Who didn't see it? Did anyone not see the passion of the Christ? You haven't seen it? You need to see that. Oh, it's good. So, they're in the Garden of Gethsemane, and he's praying, and just big old sweat drops are pouring off of him. He's in anguish. And he gets up, and he knows what he has to do. And just at that time, the serpent begins to crawl by. What does he do? Does he land on his tail? He crushes his head. He injures his head. How does Jesus injure the serpent? Yes, this is an illustration that he's going to bruise his heel, but he's going to crush the head of the serpent. The work has been done on the cross. The work has been done on the cross. I got an amen. Did you hear that? Hey, that's exciting. Listen, he's put you in authority because Christ has come. And the work was finished on the cross. Who's in charge here? God's in charge through who? It should. Makes me nervous. What does he want to do through us? Great things. Amen. by his power and his authority. Are you with me today? God's got a plan for your life. Tap into it. The euangelion, first place Christ shows up. Verse 15. He shall bruise you on the head, and you shall bruise him on the heel. He's talking to Satan. And then in verse 16, if you had your Bible and a pencil or a pen, I would put a B out there next to verse 16. Did I tell you to put a C out there by verse 14? Put a C by verse 14. Put a C by verse 14. And then you're going to want to put a B by verse 16.
A B or D?
A B, as in failure. This is very important. A C goes by 14. And then a B goes by 16. Now look at what he says in 16. Now wait a minute. He was talking to Satan. Wait a minute. He was talking to the man. And then he talks to the woman. And then he talks to Satan. And then he talks to the woman. Do you see a pattern developing here? Let's keep reading. To the woman he said, I will greatly multiply your pain in childbirth, and pain you shall bring forth children. Yet your desire shall be for your husband, and he shall rule over you. Doesn't that sound depressing? I'm glad that wasn't my wife. Hey, the young people that I talk to, you know, at this point, they read that and they say, wow, that's not serving one another. I mean, that's jacked. That's messed up. That's not the way it should be. That's not what he desires for the woman. But that's the way it is because of what? Yet your desire shall be for your husband, and he shall rule over you. Wow. Be careful with that. Now, if I had a pencil, I'd write an A by verse 17. I'd write an A by verse 17. All right, so what we're doing here is we're developing something's going on in this text. And it's called a kiss. Anybody ever heard of a kiss? They're all in the text, aren't they? Chiasm. Who knows what a chiasm is? It's a literary element. It's all in the Bible. It's very important. What's the point, Rick? Well, he comes and he talks to the man. She did it. Talks to the woman. He did it. The very centerpiece is the seed. The conversation that God has with the seed is the important section there. It's the centerpiece. Do you see that? Because after God talks to the serpent, then he talks to the man, or the woman, he talks to the woman, and then lastly he talks to the man. You see that? See the pattern, Miss Ethel? See it? Look for that in the Bible. It's all in the Bible. Chiasm. And the point is this. Who gets cursed out of this deal? Oh, we're going to find out here in just a minute. We're going to find out who did it. Well, Adam and Eve did, right? Who gets cursed for it? Let's keep reading. Then to Adam he said, because you have listened to the voice of your wife. Now don't take that and run with it. That will get you in a bind. And have eaten from the tree about which I commanded you, saying, you shall not eat from the tree. Cursed is the ground Because cursed is what? Cursed are you?
No.
Cursed is the ground, he says. The centerpiece of the chiasm, there's a curse. And if anybody deserved death, it was Adam and Eve. They sinned. The wages of sin is, but the gift of God is eternal life. Amen. He says, cursed is the ground because of you. I want to skip on down in an effort to be wise about the time. We know what he says about thorns and thistles. Listen, grass burrs are in here. We have grass burrs in my hometown. And they will just take over. It's amazing. Grass burrs are in here. Look at verse 18. Thorns and thistles are going to grow where you plant. And it's by, verse 19, by the sweat of your face. You're going to till the ground. For you are dust, and to dust you shall return. Now the man called his wife's name Eve, because she was the mother of all the living. That's huge. And the Lord made garments of skin for Adam and his wife, and clothed them. You see, God makes provisions where man covers up. When we fail, folks, God steps in. Hello? He wants to move. What must we do to get him to move? That's the question. That's what I want to leave you with today. Look in verse 23. Therefore, the Lord God sent him out of the garden of Eden to cultivate the ground from which he was taken. So he drove, he what? Escorted? Led? Well, what do we get here? What's the picture? If I drive you all out of here, you're not going to be happy with me. There's plenty of donuts and coffee that's still left in there. The driving out is a forcing out. It's a forceful move. He drove them out. That doesn't sound like a good God to me. I mean, this is a garden. This is a wonderful place. God, what are you doing? I'm glad you asked. Look at verse 24. So he drove the man out. He drove the man out. Who? What about Eve? You understand the use of the word here? He means mankind. He means Adam and Eve. That's what he's saying. So he drove the man out. Now listen to this. And at the east of the Garden of Eden, he stationed the cherub. Now if you've studied under Dr. Street, you know when you meet an angel in your life, based on the biblical text, what's one of the first things that the angels say? Don't fear. I wonder why. When an angelic being shows up, why is man afraid? Because he's the messenger of God. Brilliance. Holiness. Hello? This is a shocking thing for an angel of God to show up. The cherub station and the flaming sword. That sounds like, man, that sounds like something's going on with this flaming sword, which turned every direction to guard the way what? To guard the way what? This is the point of the whole thing. Who said that? Sorry, Dr. Street. I crossed the line. I give a piece of candy for that. Now listen. This is the point. Don't miss this. We can have fun. We can, isn't this a brilliant text? All this is good. Don't miss the point. Why did he drive them out of the garden? You guys have studied the Word of God for years. Why did he drive them out of the garden? What condition were their hearts in? And if they continue to eat of this tree, they've already eaten of it once. And the thought is that if they continue to eat, they would live in a sinful condition. They would live forever. But God stepped in. He stepped in, folks. And I could just start right here, and you could give me testimony about but God. What does it take for him to step into your life? I'm glad you asked. Look at the end of chapter 4. Honey, can I get you to give me my prop? Dr. Street thinks I'm really corny when I do stuff like this. And he's not here, so I'll do it anyway. I get you to throw me that. Look at the end of chapter 4. So they're driven out of the garden. And they have a son, and his name is what? That's at the end of chapter 4. Look at the beginning. Who's the number one son? And what is he responsible for? He killed his younger brother. It hadn't been very long. Do you see the depth of sin? I call it the slinky syndrome. Do y'all know what a slinky is? You know what a slinky is. Young people don't know what slinkies are. If you hold that slinky up here and you drop the bottom of it, what happens? You know what? That's the effect of sin as well. My pilot friend here. When the elevator's up and the rudder's all the way to the left, you go with what? What do they call it? They call it a tailspin. They call it a tailspin. They call it a tailspin. And look, hey, don't miss this. Don't miss it. Listen, they call it a tailspin because there's a point to where the airplane cannot be moved. It's spinning so fast and violently that the forces that are outside overpower his ability to... What do they say on the radio? You're in a tailspin. What do they say? I'm pulling, but I can't. What do we have to do? Here's what we have to do. You ready? You ready for this? Here we go. Cain kills Abel. And I see this. They sin in the garden. God escorts them out. So they wouldn't live forever in a sinful state. Is that not grace? That's grace, folks. And he's done the same for you. He's certainly done it for me over and over. Look right here. End of chapter 4. And Adam had, verse 25, and Adam had relations with his wife again, and she gave birth to a son named Seth. God has appointed me another offspring in place of Abel, for Cain killed him. And to Seth, to him also a son was born, and he called him Enosh. And then men began to what? Men began to what? What do we need to do, folks? It tells me. How do you call on the name of the Lord? You talk to God. You call on the name of the Lord. Isn't that wonderful? You call on His name. And I go, last weekend, I received a phone call Saturday night. It was last weekend, wasn't it? Anyway, I received a phone call at 10 p.m. on Saturday night, and the pastor was sick. The pastor was sick, so I had to go preach. You know what? I had to be what? Ready. Now, probably the majority of us have called on the name of the Lord. But there's many in your life that have never done it. They're in a tailspin. And I'm asking you to help them. God's put you in their life for a reason. Tell them to pull up. Encourage them to call on the name of the Lord. Amen. Some of you here today, you've just forgotten. You've called on His name. But see, He wants to take you closer. Wellington, He wants you to grow. Okay, are you ready? I know it's corny, dear. You see this? You know what this is? I'm going to be on time. Only 2 minutes late. Look right here. Don't miss this. You know they send these things to you green. They never let them stay on the tree long enough to get ripe, so you can just twist them and they fall off. They get them green and then they package them and then they send them to you. And when you get them, man, I try to skin these things and you end up tearing the whole thing up, don't you? You can take this right here and you can begin to mash on it. Mash on it. You go all the way around mashing on it. And you know what it does? It softens it. That pressure softens it. And juices and things begin to spurt out because it's resistant. And then how does it peel? Very easy. Are you with me? Don't resist the pressure in your life. Call on the name of the Lord. Amen? Some of you need to hear that today. Call on His name, and He will hear. Amen? Let's pray. Father, we're grateful for Your Word. Some of us are here today, and things are going well, and we praise You for that. And some of us here are putting on a good face, and we're just trying to hang on. Lord, we cry out to You. We need Your help. And we're calling on Your name. I ask that we'll all consider this text as we go through next week. Would You put people in our path that will give us the opportunity to share the gospel that Christ has come, the work is done, and they may enter into the kingdom of God if they call on Your name. They shall be saved. Father, we thank You for Your work that You've done, and we ask that You would empower us, encourage us to do the work here on earth. I thank You for this class and what they mean to this community. What they do in this community is amazing. I ask You to pour out Your blessings on these people, that You may be lifted up and You may be glorified. And I ask that in Jesus' name, and I pray for His sake. Amen. Thank you.